Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Kentucky Derby preview edition of the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, helping to keep track of what we're talking about, helping us to produce the show, looking up any pertinent information we need, you know him as Mr. Electricity. He is Whiteboard Jody.
Whiteboard.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar, he is the sham to my secretariat, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders.
Don't take second place. Especially from 28 links back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is the only other horse in the history of the Derby to run a sub-2-minute Kentucky
exactly
Derby.
Right.
And he didn't win the race.
Yes.
What a loser.
And a close one to them, Monarcos.
And second in the Preakness.
Right.
And then hung with
Great horse.
He's hung with Secretariat in the Belmont.
Yes.
And coming around the long fourth turn, he'd had enough, and he ended up finishing dead freaking
last. No Secretariat. Sham could have been a Derby winner.
Sounds like Dan Marino of horses to me.
Guys, it is Derby week. The excitement here in town, obviously, is off the charts, as it is every year. We will get into a deep dive into the Kentucky Derby here directly. First, before we get started, always want to remind everybody we are on social media, on Twitter at Blockout Pod. Just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search bar. We upload new episodes there. I have not been very good at doing things on Twitter. I'm going to try to remember to do that at the Derby on Saturday and on Thursday as we go out to the track. But a couple of things I want to get to before we start breaking down the Kentucky Derby is the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are in full swing right now. We discussed last week how much we were all enjoying the NHL playoffs in particular. Tuna, I know things have not gone quite as well for your Predators as you would have liked. What do you see from them going forward? Is there still a chance that they can come back in this series, or are we just trying to delay the inevitable tonight?
Well, Mr. Carter, I was enjoying the hell out of the hockey playoffs right up until Sunday evening when Vancouver goes on to score three goals in a matter of 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was tough.
And that kind of ripped my heart and soul out. And hopefully it did not rip the Preds' heart and soul out, as tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they will be playing in Vancouver in an insane environment.
Oh, it's going to be
in
crazy.
An elimination game, which there are four potential elimination games tonight.
Is that right?
Yes. You have the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. Bruins up by one right now, so they can go on and do what we all knew was going to happen and watch the Maple Leafs lose in the first round again.
Right.
And then you have the Hurricanes and the Islanders, which the Canes are up 3-1, and like I said last week, I think the Canes are a full-on wagon. They're hitting on all cylinders right now, and in my opinion, I think they're the favorite to win it all. That's who I'm going with, probably.
Steve Levy had the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they do.
So I don't see that happening. And the Avs and the Jets. The Avalanche is up 3-1 on Freddie Bender's Winnipeg Jets. Mr. Canada over here is going to have a tough time tonight if they lose. But
I'm surprised he didn't wear his Maple Leaf logoed shirt tonight.
Yeah, I know it. But
are you drinking a Labatt's over there, Fred?
A Labatt? No. No, but that is my hockey lager shirt, if you will. And I would be drinking a Molson Gold.
There
if
you
I
go.
Was
get
you
a
moose head. Watching hockey. It's too hard for me to watch all these sporting events going on because I am Mr. Derby. So I haven't really paid attention to much other. So fill me in, boys.
So that's what I'm saying. The Avs are up in Winnipeg tonight, and I could see Winnipeg winning that game in that environment. But
go Jets.
The Avs are, I mean, they're the best home team in the league. So them, I think if the Jets pull this one off tonight, the Avs will close it out. That'd be Thursday night. And then to bring up the rear at 10 p.m., we mentioned earlier the Preds and the Canucks. I'm not sure the Preds are – I mean, we're on life support right now, and they're going to be playing tight tonight. They're either going to win, you know, have that game after they lost 9-4 to Dallas and go on a tear and win this by 8 goals, or they're just going to get completely pummeled tonight. It's going to go one of both ways. Hopefully it's the other way. But either way, we're on life support here. But in hockey, I think that is the one sport where a team has come back the most from a 3-1 deficit
right.
than any other. Right. Not that there's that many leagues that play series like that, but I guess
it doesn't happen very often in the NBA.
In baseball, NBA, and hockey. But I think hockey has the highest number there. And then tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we have this game. This series is the Golden Knights at the Stars. Stars came in as a heavy favorite. Golden Knights kind of manhandled them the first two, and then the Stars have fought back to win two straight to make a series out of it. And they're playing at Dallas. The Knights have kind of had Dallas's number this season, and I don't know if they're gonna pick right back up, but. They got some ground to cover here. And then the Oilers and Kings for an elimination game. Edmonton's really good. I mean, that's a, it's a, you know, damn fine Oilers team. You know, probably the best player in hockey
Did
right
I
now.
Did I tell you that I think that I'm going to adopt Las Vegas as my NHL team
okay.
going forward? I feel like there's an opportunity there for me to actually go to a game sometime, uh-huh. which I would love. I haven't been to an NHL hockey game in, my God, it's, I mean, this seems crazy, but it's been almost 30 years since I've been to an NHL. The last time I was at, I'll put it this way. Last time I was at an NHL hockey game was at the original Boston Garden.
No.
However long ago that thing got torn down, it was the year before they tore it down. So I think I'm going to adopt the Vegas Golden Knights as my NHL team going forward. I know nothing about them.
Well, they won the cup last year, didn't
yeah.
they? Yeah. So that's a good pick. They're a fun team. I think my last NHL game I was at was the St. Louis Blues, like about 15 years ago. So which was a blast. That's St. Louis Blues are a good fun team.
Did they play at the Kiel Center?
I think that's what it was. Center? Yeah. Yep.
Well, I look forward to all these games. I think, I mean, anytime you have an elimination game and when you have this many in one night, that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope for the teams that are behind to win all these games so that we get more first-round playoff hockey.
Well, we just need game sevens. That's all we want out of anything except the Preds. I'd like to wrap it up in six, but I think it's right. too late for that right. now, so we're going to have to go seven. So... anyway, I'm not bitter about that at all. So,
well, and the NBA playoffs are,
the yoffs
are in full swing right now. We have the Pacers tonight, potentially with an opportunity to knock Milwaukee out of the playoffs, which, and I know, I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox here because I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, the Bucks are injury depleted, and they are. Giannis has not played yet. Damian Lillard got hurt at the end of game 3, I guess it was. But the fact of the matter is the Pacers are like, I think 7-2 against them this season. And so I don't think, and dude, the Milwaukee fans have been absolutely atrocious on social media. And so, quite frankly, I hope we go into the Fiserv Forum or whatever that dump of a building is tonight. And we just beat the brakes off those bastards.
Fiserv, that's where they make Viagra.
So
who's looked
they
the
might
best
get up for that game.
Hey, who's looked the best in these playoffs? I'm going to have to go with the Thunder.
Well, they've looked very good. But
they did beat a depleted
I was
going to
say,
team.
Is that more a,
they didn't slip up four,
a testament
four in a row.
Of how well they're playing or how atrocious
I get it.
New Orleans
well,
was?
New Orleans can't
I mean, because there was both things
boy.
Going on there.
Right.
They
but
were
usually a team lets up. The Jazz or the Nuggets let up a game. You know, usually you have a game where not all cylinders are popping.
Right.
But I think
it
the
happened
Thunder
to the Celtics.
Have...
It happened to the Celtics against the Heat.
Right.
They're more than likely going to end up winning 4-1. The Lakers. The Lakers cannot beat the Nuggets. I mean, they beat them once. I think that was their only win in the last 13 games against Denver. And so LeBron and company are out again, probably looking at possibly another coaching change, which it's just a revolving door of coaches there.
I did see that the Lakers were open to re-signing him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
And they said they'd be open to drafting his son.
I know. It'd be interesting to see if that happens. I don't really understand that at all.
I think a lot of hardcore Laker fans are going to be really upset at that.
Yeah, I don't. We'll have to ask Colin how he feels about that.
Is he a hardcore Laker fan?
He is.
Oh.
Well, they're all looking for beachwear right now, so that's all that matters.
So he's not sporting his Kurt Rambis jersey?
Knicks and 76ers. The Knicks are better than them.
Right.
I mean,
that's still a good series.
The Suns, very disappointing.
Oh,
they got
horrible.
They got swept.
Horrible.
That Mavs Clippers series is a under the radar, a very good competitive series.
It
that
has been.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But
who won that last game?
I'm thinking Dallas.
Leonard was out, right? Did the Clippers end up winning?
The Clippers won. It's 2-2. And they play tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Boston has an opportunity to knock the Heat out at home. I have a feeling Boston is going to roll in that game. No matter what, I mean, you may have a situation tonight at Milwaukee where Milwaukee plays out of their mind, hits a bunch of shots and wins, but they're not coming into Gainbridge Fieldhouse and beating the Pacers.
Not gonna happen
in the next game. I'm gonna just go ahead and say it right now. This series is over.
Over.
So hopefully that doesn't turn out to bite me in the ass.
I would say don't black cat them, but I have to agree with you on that one.
We do a lot of black catting.
Orlando and Cleveland, two teams that I really don't care at all about.
Dude, Orlando's playing, you know, they're playing good. I think I'm more pumped about Minnesota, to be honest with you. I've been really having fun watching them play.
Well, I mean, they romped, and they're probably going to get Vogel fired at Phoenix.
Yeah.
Having been swept, I'm sorry. I did not know how.
I knew Minnesota when I was betting the NBA a while back that Minnesota had one of the top defenses in the league. But until you really watch them in the playoffs, they have a great defense. That McDaniel is a beast. Karl-Anthony Towns, they all know the roles. They're going to be hard to handle in the next round.
I got a question on it. Edwards made the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Karl-Anthony Towns didn't make it, though. Am I right? And he was top five for player of the year.
You know,
is he American?
I'm wondering if that has something to do with it. He's Canadian, I think.
Okay.
I think that
so
has
he didn't even he didn't even make the Canadian
I
team?
I think that has something to do with his injury, too. I think they're worried about this injury. He came back quickly for the playoffs.
That shoulder and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah, you. So I'm not sure if that is, but I've heard them saying that they wanted to bring him back slow, and he doesn't want that. This is his time to shine, finally is here.
Karl Anthony Towns will play for the Dominican Republic.
Right, okay. Oh, SGA's Canadian.
Well, yes.
He was born in New Jersey.
No, yeah. Right. No, but I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Gilgeous Alexander.
But Karl Anthony Towns has played for the Dominican Republic national team, I think, in at least two international competitions. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't know if it worked. He's an American citizen also, but I don't know if it if it is like soccer, where once you play for, say, you have dual citizenship in the United States and Germany, if you get capped, is what they call it in soccer, by the United States, then you're committed to playing for the United States. I don't know if it works that way in international basketball.
I think at this point that he would probably play for the American team in the Olympics. I don't know.
But I don't know if he's allowed to.
Right.
Because he's played for the Dominican
Republic. I'm not sure they're going to let him anyways based on that. He may be having shoulder surgery.
In baseball, you can play wherever you your family was even from.
Right.
I mean, so he's played for the Dominican Republic since he was 16 years old in 2012, right. He's probably going to stick there.
I'm ready for some good track and field action, man.
Oh, I can't wait for the Olympics. We're going to have...
Is that August?
What is it?
July, basically.
Okay, so that's a nice little break to get us through summer into football season.
Right. Yeah. And I love being in Florida on vacation and watching the Olympics. I know that. There's something about it. I've been doing it as a kid for many years, but it's usually the Summer Olympics when they're on, when you're on vacation.
Well, we know it's Freddie's second home already. I mean, he's been there like...
I can't wait to do a show out on the balcony and talk about...
I'm sure our listeners can't wait for that either.
The 200 or the 100 or the relay hurdles.
Swimming.
Swimming.
Freddie will be out there doing his Michael Phelps.
Dude. You just like badminton, so you can say shuttlecock.
I can do Do not have an extra bouncy shuttlecock.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Is that badminton or badminton?
So we have we've got the NHL.
I mean, it is in France this year. So.
We've got the NHL. We've got the NBA out of the way. It's time to get to the nuts and bolts of this episode.
Tuna's pumped.
Love it.
Uncle Heavy's pumped.
We're gonna talk.
He's gonna get in the Oaks.
We're gonna talk some Kentucky Derby. Now, before we get into this year's race, before we started tonight, and it's been a topic around here for several years, and especially this year because Churchill Downs has sunk umpteen millions of dollars into their renovations of, they redid the paddock and, you know, a lot of the front side, outside areas and that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that there are many unhappy commoners.
Locals.
Yes.
All the local
those
people.
Those too.
And I completely understand this mentality because I'm right there with this in a lot of ways, but they did raise the price just to get, for those people that don't live around here might be wondering, just to get into the Derby this year, not to have a seat, not to have a place undercover, not to have a place where you can sit and comfortably watch the race. Just to walk in to the complex this year is $130. I believe when I started going to the Derby in 2002.
$20.
I think it was 35. Four, yeah. I think it was 35 in 2002.
It's been four. Like Oaks was 30.
And then it was $50 for a long time.
I remember being 50, and that was outrage. Yep. Everybody was
for
like, it's $50
time,
to get in.
It was $50.
What is $130? What do you mean $130 to get in?
That's infield price. That's
okay,
just to walk in.
Make sure you say that.
Yeah.
That is for the infield.
That's what I mean. Like, not to have a seat.
Not in the outs, in the actual.
Well, Twin I mean,
Spires area. That's to stand in the hot sun.
But I mean, I think it's still probably the same way. Like when we used to go the first few times I went with you, and we would go down and just hang out in turn one.
Can't do it anymore.
Well, but I think you can probably pay $130 and still.
No.
So that's infield only.
I wouldn't be going to the backside if I could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, you cannot do it anymore.
Okay, so you have to have
Is a ticket out there to go into the paddock, and not the new green dome paddock with all the seats
Jesus
and everything.
Christ.
The Thunder Dome.
But literally, it's part of a fenced-in, beautifully fenced-in with pagodas, couches, and great food areas and everything. In the parking lot that they pushed back, that is $700 to walk around. Now, here's the thing Travis hasn't mentioned. It's all in what they decided to do at Churchill Downs from this point on is everything is all inclusive. So you pay the money, you get free drinks and free food.
Now, that is not the case in the infield, correct?
Right. No. That is not the case in the infield, it's even though they do have one little area that I went to last year when I was roaming around that has something set up like that. But in the paddock right now, and that, you know, and my wife and I, just that's really all we need. We don't have to sit in a box. I don't even like sitting in boxes because then you feel like you have to sit there. I like to roam around. My wife likes to roam around. And you cannot, and if you want to do that this year, it is $700 roughly. Now that will go down the closer it gets to Derby until they sell out. And then they sell out, and then the tickets will be available here and there. And you could probably get in there for $400 maybe,
well,
something like that. But we used to pay general admission to go into the paddock,
right,
roam around, get all your food and beverage, and then, of course, I would sneak around everywhere and try to stab Churchill in the back as much as I could and go all over the place. However, they have changed a lot of that, too. There is way more security. They've gotten smarter. Social media has come alive. And now literally you have to, and I'm not talking a hot dog and a warm beer. You have an option of all kinds of different places. And what happens is the lines are faster because what made the lines long is everyone using their credit card, after post COVID. So when COVID happened, this is why they changed everything. And now you just pay ahead of time. No one has to touch dirty money. No one has to touch credit cards. You don't even tip.
So, well, Jesus.
So you get your beers. They got them sitting out. You go up and grab one. Now, if you want a crazy mixed drink or something, you're going to have to go up there and wait a little bit. But if you want a beer bacon mac and cheese or an empanada or whatever, they have it there for you to get. So it is very expensive, but not if you put that into play, it is better. But what always happens, Tuna, is
nothing says
people don't drink enough and they don't eat enough. So
nothing
they really
says
don't get the
Louisville cuisine
worth.
Like empanadas. That's what I think of,
you know,
when
I
think
like
of Louisville, Kentucky.
Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
But just
if they had a hot brown empanada, I'd be open to that.
They have a hot brown station. But just so everybody knows, it is all-inclusive. Everything in Churchill Downs now is all-inclusive. Everything.
On Oaks and Derby Day.
On Oaks and Derby Day. Right. All-inclusive. Now we have a thing called Thurby, for those that don't know it. That is Thursday. That used to be the locals' day. Now everybody comes in town and takes that over, which is great. Then it moved to Wednesday. Like tomorrow will be Locals Day, but actually today was, it was 502's Day, which is our area code.
Well, isn't that adorable?
502's Day.
I'd love to meet the marketing genius that came
out
with
that. I'm not sure what Wednesday is. Wacky Wednesday, maybe. I don't know.
It's Champions Day.
Champions Day.
While I was waiting earlier, I watched this clip of a girl at the track today. It was two ladies dressed to the nines, whatever. Not everybody did that. But she goes, "How much was your hot dog?" She got a hot dog with onions. And it wasn't a big hot dog. She was like, $16. I can go to Costco and get twice as big for $1.
Right.
Yeah, you can't watch horse racing at Costco, lady.
So that's the thing. So when you go on Wednesday, they're going to gouge you. Of course they are. So, and even Thurby is now costing more money to get in, and it's becoming such a big thing. And, you know, the all-inclusive thing, it all happened because of COVID. I'm telling you, that changed everything. They had to make changes, and they went ahead and said, let's not have the distribution of money in hand anymore. And so now, if you want to get a box, it's $1,000 for one ticket into a box.
Well, that $200 million update. Kind of
right. Oh, sure.
Well.
That added to it. Yes. Travis, keep going. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that, because I would love to have a ticket just to go in there for $130 and walk around. I would gladly pay that.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was
and
just for the infield.
You cannot do that. So
that is even more outrageous.
Right.
To be honest with you.
That they have a ticket now, you know.
And now, the infield is like, it used to
Dude,
be
the infield's kind of fun. It's
it still used
fun.
To be like you would wear like your worst shoes ever, even if you wore shoes, like
or t-shirt,
you know, cut off t-shirt, pair of cargo shorts or something, jean shorts,
Jordache.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you'd go out there and you knew you were getting muddy. And if you seen anyone dressed up, you would throw mud on them.
Oh, for sure.
If the guy had a suit on, he was getting mud. If she had a dress on, she was getting mud.
Yes.
Now everyone goes out there and dresses up. You got to do it for the gram, man. Got to do it for the gram.
And driven, and everybody knows what happens. Vineyard Vines is taking over Jim Nance's company. So everybody's got to look smooth.
Is that Jim Nance owns Vineyard Vines?
Yes.
Yes.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Go get you some burnt toast now, Tanner.
Oh, my God. I was gifted. Vineyard Vines
rich.
Louisville football t-shirt. Has the well on the back with a Louisville football helmet on. And
Jim Nance is winking at you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm probably going to have to get rid of that shirt now. Or I'll just give it to the next kid that scores 20 points at a local game.
There you go. So, Travis, just to get through that part of it, I know you were continuing on because Tuna probably has a few things he wants to say.
No, I'm not. No, I don't.
Well, I'm talking about. Then it's turned into a machine almost. People from out of town are coming from all over the place, and if they pay the money, they're in. And the common folk that used to stand around the paddock and bet and gamble have gotten inched out.
The easiest thing to say is that Churchill Downs, and it's not that this is not a recent development. This has been going on for over a decade. But Churchill Downs is first and foremost a corporation,
mm-hmm.
a major corporation.
Just ask Bob Baffert.
And they are.
I'm Team Baffert.
Much more concerned with the bottom line than they are with horse racing. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest.
Yeah, they don't care about the people that keep them open year round.
Right.
That's my whole thing. It's like,
right.
These are the ones, I'm not going to get into, I'm not going to poo-poo on your
but
guys'
they,
week.
No, you're not, but it does bring, you know, now they have the sports book in there. There'll be people that think they poo-pooed on them still in there betting the sports book, though. And they have, it's just always going to happen. They're going to build it up. You knew that something was going to change.
I just felt like the heart and soul of Churchill Downs was the paddock area.
I do too.
And it's like they ripped it out and put a strip mall in. It's like tearing down.
Well, it's a beautiful strip mall.
It's like tearing down the Green Monster at Fenway Park and putting luxury boxes in it. I hear you. You know what I mean?
And I'm old school like you are.
Yeah.
One thing they did do as I walked around today and checked everything out in the morning after I was on the backside all early morning was checking out. They did. It is amazing how they found areas where the original brick from the 1800s was. So, and they really did try to keep a lot of old restoration things there. Not that that matters to anyone, but I'm not saying they just ripped everything down, and they did keep a lot of the history in there as they built it up, if you will.
Well, they didn't tear the spires down.
No, but they got that going for them. There's brick areas all around there.
There'll be billboards for too long.
Someone was showing us that is the original brick that was covered by wood, and they ripped the wood down and found the original brick wall still there, and they design, you know, they have it all still there. They have a whole wall built with the bricks that were in the original paddock and things of that nature. So, but no, I mean, everybody knows the elephant in the room when they're at Churchill.
I wasn't even going to get into that tonight because, like, the last thing I wanted to do was, like, poo-poo on Derby Week in the middle of Derby Week. I'll attack Churchill Downs, like, next week and the week after and so on.
But a lot of people do know. But people need to know that, yes, that this is the 150th Kentucky Derby, and they are blowing it up
and
this year. I mean, it is the biggest bells and whistles I've ever seen.
And when the, you know, when we're talking about the race itself, the actual race, very little has changed over the last 30, 40, 50 years. When we're talking about all the things that surround the race, that's where a lot of people have the problems.
Right.
So
corporate,
we got that out of the way. Since it is the 150th running of the Derby and, you know, so much like the Indy 500 or the Masters or anything that has been, continuously done at the same place for decades and decades and decades. We tend to become attached to it for many different reasons. And I wanted to get you guys's, and I know we talked about this a little bit last year, but it has been a year. A lot of people probably won't remember. I just wanted to get just quickly, maybe it doesn't have to be your favorite race or anything like that, but maybe your most poignant or favorite memory that you have of the Derby. And I'll start with Tuna.
I don't know, man. I got tons of memories of Churchill Downs. When it comes to Derby, I've never been the white collar fella that gets to sit in boxes. Anytime I've been, it's always been in the infield. So I would say, I guess the biggest memory is mud wrestling. There was a lot of years of mud wrestling, and I remember getting interviewed by the news one time, and I was just so drunk I couldn't even make words, and all
as
my
you should be.
My aunts and uncles were calling my mom like, "Your son's on TV," and it was one of the proudest moments for my mom ever. Was me. On the news, inebriated, yelling at the cameraman and tackling another big fella. So that was, I guess that's probably about it. I guess when I was really young, one of the first, I went to a Derby as a kid, and we sat in a box then, and it was the year Sunday Silence won. What was that, 1988?
1989.
Okay. So that one, I guess, is probably my only memory where I was, like, actually seen horses on Derby Day live. So, I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, Freddie, how about you?
Well, what I love about it, too, is, we all like, say all the kids in this, in the whole city. I mean, the Kentucky Derby is a full week party. Almost 2 weeks, really, counting Thunder, the biggest fireworks show in North America. To kick off Derby Week, and it really starts a week before this. But, you know, you've got everything going on. You got the boat race going on Wednesday. It's just a week-long celebration and party. And people, if you ever come in town for it, start coming on Thursday. So you want to be here Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, if you're going to do it right. But like even the schools and stuff around town, like, you know, they, what are you going to do this week in school? Well, we're making horses out of broomsticks and pay rag. We're going to have the derby race out in the parking lot or out on the ground. You know,
can I cut in on that?
Oh, now
quick?
You got one.
Yeah.
You got
no,
a story.
You were talking about schools doing this. When I was in grade school, I went to Our Lady of Consolation, a small little Catholic school in the south end of Louisville. And we would go out. They got us paint. We went out one year and we painted on the – we each had like a parking slot, and we would paint our favorite derby festival event. So like I didn't know. I was like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old at the time, and I painted like the balloon race and mm-hmm. other people painted different
yeah,
stuff. They had the
balloon,
bed races
right,
and all that stuff.
The balloon race, the bed race.
Well, that school – they apparently used the wrong kind of paint, and that ended up staying there for about 25 years.
I love it.
No, other than that, no, that's it. I didn't mean to cut in, but
she
yeah,
was
you,
like
you
this
me.
Is the Delta Queen. Yeah. This is the Earler's
well,
balloon.
I painted a Mr. Peanut shaped hot air balloon,
oh,
like
I
with the top hat.
The Planters
and, yeah,
peanut
the Planters
balloon.
Peanut guy.
I figured yeah. you would have done the cool cigarettes balloon.
I was 8. I didn't start painting cigarettes. So I was
but
like
yeah,
10.
Yeah, the Great Balloon Race. The Great Balloon Race is something. The mini marathon, all this, folks, was on one Saturday, the Saturday before Derby that kicked it off. And you want to talk about a wild day. I mean, you had thousands of people running in a 18K race. You had, which I've ran in twice. You've had a balloon, you know, 26 hot air balloons up at 8 in the morning. Kids go there, watch them blown up the night before. They have a glow. I mean, it's just so you got all that pageantry going on, and then you finally get to Derby and you get to Oaks Thursday, and it's just a big buildup. If you like to party like I do, buddy, there ain't nothing better. But that's what I love about it is the buildup and all that stuff. I have some great memories just of my first Derby was 1987 that I went to. That would be Alashiba. And it's funny, everyone that's a local, when they say they're Derby buddy, you better believe they know who won. Or the first, you know, one they were at. But I remember my parents sneaking in a bottle of vodka and a chocolate cake. And it was like the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Like, how did they do it? You know, and they got it in and we all took pictures. And I had a soccer game that morning. And then I arrived with my mom and we're sitting in this area that was really spacious and everything. And then I went to go get on a walk with my dad. And I came back and there's like, where is our area? You know, there's like millions of people have come in at that time and taken over. And, just the fun times of back in the day when you had to, when you were getting older and you were sneaking in alcohol.
Yeah, all the creative ways
the creative
to figure
ways
out how to sneak alcohol
is like
in was always fun.
Some of the
fun.
Greatest things. The Trojan horse has been used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys in wheelchairs, things of that nature with a keg under it.
Girls stuffing their bras with Ziploc bags.
That still happens
of
today.
Of course it does.
You know, all that
we
creative
know people
stuff.
That still
and,
do that.
Yeah, and they used to have the huge dumpster there. And it's like, nah, good try. And they just throw it in there. You know, and you're like, dude, I had to try. Like, you know, and that was all pre-9/11. And then it got real harsh. And then COVID happened. And it's gotten even more harsh as far as all that. But, no, the derbies, just great times going on the backside. You know, my dad turned me onto that. That really gets you in the fever of the Derby. Travis and I went already a couple days ago, and you're back there with the workers, the hot walkers, the horses, the trainers, everybody that does everything that makes Churchill work is back there, and it's the blood and guts of Churchill Downs.
And that will never be untouched. That's like the one place I feel like that you go and you can hang on to your Churchill memories at.
For sure. And, you know, and then you watch the horses work out and they wear their special silk so you know who they are. Then you run back after they work out, they're done on the track, and you watch them get washed off and you're like, man, I'm taking.
I like how your voice goes up and down as you turn while you're pouring your drink to look at it.
I'm glad you like it, because when I edit these episodes,
it's a nightmare.
But I could go on forever, guys. But and I've told many stories last year. But just, you know, like, I'm still a sucker for the whole thing, and my wife knows it. Like, she knows that come Derby week, I will be getting up at 6 a.m. and not taking my child to school that week. And she will be doing that. I will be getting home, roaming around, getting everything ready for every day. You know, anyways, it's a blast.
And
it's all about the horses, dude. For me, I love handicapping and all that. So it's about the horses, because it's the hardest race to handicap. You got 21 horses in two humongous gates coming out at one time.
Do you think there's too many horses that run in the Derby?
I do, but it hasn't always been that way.
Like, I know.
Silver Charm ran, there were like 11.
Exactly.
But I do think there's too many, but I do like big fields. You know what I mean? So many times now you see races going on and there are so many scratches and you have like five horses running. And you're like, I'm not going to bet this race.
I'm with you, but when you start out with 20 and a horse scratches, I don't think you shouldn't have to replace them.
I agree 100%. I don't think that someone should come in.
Yeah, they don't do it in other races, like, so why is this one?
Like Rich Strike.
But, no, I have a theory. Joey, I don't think that you're really even into the Derby week. I think you use it as an excuse to just go out and party all week. And, like, you lie to your wife and tell her how much you love it and all this stuff.
No, like, I went to a handicap.
You just show up at 4 in the morning with a Derby hat on.
Well, like, Travis and I went to a handicapping seminar and a thing for horses after they have retired, and it's a great benefit.
It's called Second Stride, by the way.
If
you're interested in horse racing, you should look into it, because I did want to talk about that just real quick. For a very long time, once a thoroughbred, for lack of a better term, was used up, some very questionable things might happen to these horses. And Second Stride is an organization that makes sure these horses are taken care of and have a life after racing.
That is spectacular. I didn't know something like that existed.
And so Fred and I have been going. A friend of ours was instrumental in getting this thing off the ground. Fred and I have been going to this event for many, many years. It's grown bigger and bigger every year. And if you are so inclined, take a look at Second Stride. They are doing, if you're like me and you have kind of a moral quandary with horse racing and you want to feel better about yourself and the fact that you still enjoy horse racing, look at Second Stride. Think about making a donation. They are a wonderful organization that does great things for these horses that we watch and very quickly forget about, quite frankly. And they do a tremendous job of making sure these animals are taken care of for the rest of their lives. So I just wanted to say that. Jody, how about you?
Greatest silent auction I've ever seen yesterday.
Probably my biggest one is actually Oaks Day. I got to walk in the they do a parade for breast cancer survivors right before the Oaks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I had a lady that used to work for me. She got it, and she was in remission. I got to walk and asked me to. Myself and my CEO put her name in. She got the acceptance.
I remember that. That was so cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I remember watching it, you know.
And I remember being at UK. I went to the infield with my roommate at the time in Lexington. and he was about to get arrested for throwing a bag of pretzels. And I looked at the cop, and I go, what about these idiots? There was two guys with a Pizza Hut pizza box doing cocaine like 10 feet away from
him. Oh, you narc. And that's what a narc.
Only way that he didn't get arrested.
I love it. I mean, like, I'm with you. Like, and it's generations, folks. Like, I have a picture, a mural that my cousin made for me that's in my, I mean, if y'all have been in my house, y'all know I have horse memorabilia. My whole bathroom is dedicated to the Derby, our half bath. But there is a mural there that my cousin made and found all these old pictures from my mom, my dad when he was young, and me and everything. And he combined all of these pictures of us partying in the paddock with all our friends. And there are pictures of my dad with cardboard box over the infield fence, second turn. And he's riding the fence like a horse. And it, like, the cardboard's wrapped around it. And, dude, they're getting wild. And it's a black and white. I mean, it is. Maybe it's not a black and white picture. It's not that old. But it is like just the generations as you've gone. Like, all the kids are going to the backside now. I don't think little kids should be back there during Derby week, but they are back there now. People are bringing them before they go to school, and those generations are going to get older. They're going to get ready, and it's just that's what happens in Louisville. It is the Kentucky Derby is one of the biggest parties that you're ever going to have.
Well, you brought up your decorations. So you have a Wagner's menu.
Yes.
On your wall.
I do.
And we were just talking about that earlier. You know, so things have changed. And if you want to explain to people out there what Wagner's is.
Well, Wagner's is one the original Churchill Downs breakfast lunch cafe. It's right. There used to be a silks making store for all the silks that went on in a saddle store, and all that was next to it. And you would go into Wagner's, and it's just an old, great. They had a little area where you could buy souvenirs, and then the rest of it is a diner. And all the trainers go in there and eat, and they'll be in there all year long. And it is kind of amazing how it has blown up. Travis and I went there a couple of days ago, and there was 58 people waiting in line, and that was the wait to get in there, and it's just blown up. Now they have a huge gravel parking lot, and who knows, they're probably going to build Wagner's into some big freaking restaurant.
They're going to end up ruining that.
Right, well, what they should do is at least keep the original and then build onto it, maybe. I don't know, but all that is right there next to it.
If they touch Wagner's, we riot. I'm throwing it down right now. Just things have to remain
and
sacred.
And UofL Cardinal Stadium, where they play football, you can literally throw a baseball and hit Wagner's or Churchill Downs.
It is L&M Credit Union
Stadium. So the whole area down there is rocking. But anyways, Churchill Downs, like, if you haven't been to the Kentucky Derby, folks, you need to come down and give me a call. I'll make sure you have fun.
There is no doubt about that. So we've got the historical stuff out of the way. As Fred said last night, he and I went to that Second Stride event. There was a handicapping panel with some people that really knew what they were talking about. They broke the race down a lot of different ways. Before we get to the actual Derby, I did want to quickly touch on the Kentucky Oaks, which is Friday. And for those people that don't know, the Oaks is a huge race, much like the Derby, but this is for fillies only.
All day.
And Fred, I know you have a pick or two that you like for the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you're listening and you want to bet, get your pens and papers out right now. Fred is going to talk about who he likes in the Kentucky Oaks Friday afternoon.
Well, it's me and the panel and pretty much everyone, I hate to say. I don't know what – I haven't looked at the odds. When you're betting Oaks and Derby, folks, you don't need to look at the odds. Every horse, there's so many people betting on these horses in North America, in the freaking world, that you're going to get money like you normally haven't gotten. If you see a horse that's 9-2, your payoff's going to be way better than a normal 9-2 any other time during the meet. Or if you get a horse at 4-1, the favorite, you are getting something there. So don't let the odds knock you back. Everyone always loves the long shot, but don't be scared of the chalk either as you're betting these races. And speaking of the chalk, I'm not saying this horse is the actual favorite of the Oaks, but just FYI, one of the panelists said, I'm donating $500 a second stride, and it's my just FYI winning ticket. And he's going to give all his money to Second Stride when just FYI wins. That's how much that they are saying this horse has looked. Even one of the girls, which we find interesting, one of the girls that is a handicapper, she is more in the paddock looking at the coats of these horses. Oh, his coat was shiny. Like, she knows all the ins and outs of how the horses act and how they're looking. Are they eating well? Those are things I've never even thought of. But she said that just FYI, so did the other three, it is a lock that he will be in the money, okay, in the money, and possibly win. So
I'm sorry, she.
And I'm playing her on top of my favorite horse, Torpedo Anna. So just FYI is the 13, Torpedo Anna. And then underneath just FYI, I'm going to put Torpedo Anna, Tarifa, the 8 horse, into Champagne. Who don't like champagne? Don't forget, that horse is named after I am into Champagne. Rupert Holmes.
Oh.
You know the song, If You Like Making Love at Midnight. That's what that song is named after, just so you know. And then Ways and Means, the 11. So 13 on top with a 5, 8, 10, 11. Or I may even switch up better odds and put just FYI in there and try to get a higher odds on the first place horse. But that's it for those are the 5 best horses in the Oaks, in my opinion.
And if you want
to bet them however you want,
if you want to maybe look at a consensus, at least for Fred and I, my 3 Oaks horses are Tarifa, the 8, just FYI, the 13, and also Into Champagne, who I think is going to be an incredible value and has a real chance. If a long shot comes through,
right,
it's going to be that horse.
Right, right.
In my opinion.
Yes.
And, of course, anything can happen.
And theirs. Hey, listen, guys, I'm looking at the panelists, the handicappers, too. They have this. So we're kind of all on the same page in the Oaks, if you will.
So I'm going to be looking at those 3 horses several different ways and probably throwing in a couple different ones and some exotics. But so that's...
I did think Tuna might like Lemon Muffin.
I am. I'm betting Lemon Muffin.
So that's the Oaks. Now, we come to the main event. Saturday evening, early evening, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And Fred, your whole year leads up to this. I'm so excited to hear what you have to say, your breakdown, what you're going to bet, and then we'll get, I know, Tuna doesn't have a lot to say about this as far as the individual horses, but if Jody,
oh, he's got something up his sleeve.
I'm Jody has some,
I know he does.
If Jody has some bets to make, we want to hear those as well. Then I'll give my bets and the horses that I like. But I wanted obviously to start with you, so
okay,
the floor
so,
is yours.
So real quick, I'm going to go through Who's going to be leading this race out of the gate? Who's going to be stalking? So you have your front runners, your stalkers, and your closers, okay, or deep closers. And pretty much you don't have to be David Copperfield to know that this is, even though they are in 21 horses, these horses, that is what they do. That is their position, if you will.
David Copperfield? The Illusionist?
Yes, The Illusionist.
Well, okay.
So
he's going to make a horse disappear on Saturday.
But what I'm saying is, like,
I'd attend to that one.
What I'm saying is, you know, everyone, if you're a deep closer of a horse, that's what you do. You're going to get out of the gate and wait. So it's not like the gate's going to create major issues for everyone. Obviously, the one usually gets shoved over, and it's obviously harder if you're a front runner and you're in the 18 hole to get over there. You exert more energy trying to go. With that all said, the front runners in this race will be Track Phantom, Catalytic, Dornick, if he can get there, he's in the one hole. These horses are going to be all jumping for the lead. The favorite, Fierceness. T.O. Password, the Japanese horse that is two wins and no losses. He will pretty much be the rabbit, in my opinion. I think he will be running towards the front immediately, and he will determine how fast that first fraction is that everyone goes by. Okay, then you're going to have your stalkers who are going to nestle in there. You've got Just a Touch, the huge horse, Brad Cox. Just Steal, Dwayne Lucas. Forever Young, the Japanese horse that's 5-0. You've got Stronghold, Resilience, Domestic Product, West Saratoga. All those horses are going to jump in there in that area. Okay? Then you got your closers who are going to be hanging out in the back. Sierra Leone, deep closer. Honor Marie, deep closer. Catching Freedom, My Horse, a closer, not necessarily deep closer. Then you've got two horses that like to hang out, and they've closed and they've hung out by the lead. Mystic Dan and Epic Ride, who just got in the Derby. By the way, just so you know, Encino scratched today. He had a fever. So with all that said, the way I see it happening is, look at some of these past derbies, okay? In my opinion, the best closing crop of horses in the last 10 years are this year. And they are Honor Marie, they are Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, Endlessly is even considered on there. And you can even put Mystic Dan on there. These closers are, Society Man is also considered a closer. A lot of people go, wait a minute, you're never going to catch Fierceness when he comes out, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. Look at 2022. So Rich Strike won the Derby. He was a deep closer. The horse that was second, picture Fierceness, Epicenter. He was the favorite. He was the bona fide favorite in the Derby, just like Epicenter. Okay, but who won? Rich Strike. Zandon was third, another deep closer. Look at 2023, last year. Now, that was 2022. Last year, Maj, closer, wins. Second, Two Fills, the guy that had all the high numbers, who was a front runner, and the closer, Angel of Empire, comes in second. For that matter, fourth was Disarm, a deep closer. So what I'm getting at is, a lot of people are like, Fierceness, if he gets out, and look, guys, if Fierceness does get out untouched and he's in the lead, probably going to win. But I don't see that happening. I don't see him coming from the 17 hole and not having horses in front of him like Track Phantom and so on. So I'm betting on the closers this year. I'm trying to beat Fierceness. And if he wins, great. And you'll probably get him at maybe 4-1. which are great odds on a horse that can be legendary. But I am betting the, you know, Maximum Security Country House wins the Derby closing. And you're telling me this year you got the best closers that we've had in years, and they're not going to catch up towards
Country
the
House
end?
Won on an inquiry.
Right, he did. He did win on an inquiry, but he was second. Coming around fast. So, with all that said, I am going, the horse that I like, I have to have a front runner. I have to have someone in there, like Authentic, Medina Spirit, some of these horses that you're like, and it isn't going to be Fierceness. I'm taking Just a Touch on top. The horse, he's huge. He's only ran three times. He seems to be improving. Brad Cox horse. I'm going to go Just a Touch. I like catching Freedom. That's my horse. I think he's going to win. I've got Catching Freedom coming with Honor Marie. I like Catching Freedom, Just a Touch, and Fierceness in the top. And in the bottom, I like Sierra Leone, Honor Marie, Resilience, Just Steal.
What do you mean by in the bottom?
Well, I'm going to do a wheel.
Oh, so I got
three
you.
On top.
Okay.
And then three on
that's
the bottom.
That's to clarify for
them.
The listeners.
Right. Thank you. And then box them. I'm putting Sierra Leone, Honor Marie, Resilience, Just Steal, Stronghold, Mystic Dan, Domestic Product, and Track Phantom. I know that sounds crazy, but those are the horses that I think are going to be in that mix, and I don't want to do just a try box. I want horses on top, horses, and take a bet five or six on the bottom. Switch them around. The panel that we talked about, they want Fierceness on the bottom. They don't want him on top because he's not going to pay as much.
Right.
So they're betting on a closer catching him and him coming in second or third, a la Epicenter and some of those horses where the closer does catch you. So in a nutshell, my horse is, I've been a Track Phantom the whole year, so I have to put money on him. And I will probably bet him by my single up. I have a friend, we have a person that hangs out. Who is training Dornick. I will probably bet him singular because I can't not have bet that horse and everyone be celebrating. And I'm like, no, nope, didn't happen. But I am really on the closers, man. And I'm catching Freedom. I think he is the best closer. I know Sierra Leone is the favorite, but Catching Freedom doesn't start so far back. And I like where he's at in his post position. So my two favorite horses, Catching Freedom, Just a Touch. And
all right.
I'm going to put everything else with them.
So if you were making, just for the listener that is a casual horse racing fan that's just going to make a single bet on the Derby, like one bet, what would it be?
I would go with a...
And make it simple, like a trifecta box or whatever.
How about a $2 try box with four horses?
Okay, perfect.
There you go.
$2 try box with four horses.
Is that 48 bucks?
Is it 48? 48, not 36. 48. Catching Freedom, Fierceness, Just a Touch, and... I need a good odds one. How about Just Steal, Dwayne Lucas?
Okay. Jody.
I'm going to make it simple. I had mine written down before the show started. I will do a try box with four horses, and I'll do a super with five horses. The three that I know are going to be in both of them are the two horse, the four horse, and the eight horse. That's Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, and Just a Touch. I don't know who the other one is in the...
What number?
2, 4, and 8.
Eight, yeah.
And like I said, I will do a four-horse tri-box and a five-horse super box, but I don't know the other two yet. And for those listening,
you don't know the horses.
For
okay.
those listening, when you do a trial box, if it's $2, you have 12. There's 12 different variations there. That's why it's 24. If you do the four horse trial box, there's 24 variations. That's why it's $48.
Yeah,
and I like, quite frankly, and typically, I'm always trying to beat the favorite in the Derby because that's what you do to get value. But to me, it's clear Fierceness is the best horse in this race. If he gets a decent trip, I think he wins going away.
Sure.
So sure. I'm going to take Fierceness to win the race. I also like to use in exotics. I like Fierceness, Domestic Product, Catching Freedom, Sierra Leone. And the horse that actually drew in today after Encino scratched, Epic Ride.
Yes, who is improving.
Is going to be
two for two.
He's going to be a massive number.
Right, and he is one. He is one. He has won two twice and second twice in four races.
And
I'm sorry, in five races he's 2-2-1.
So I like him as a long shot, not necessarily to win, but to perhaps be in the top three or four. So I would look at him as a value pick for your exotics. Colin has sent in his pick. He's making it super simple. He says Stronghold is going to win the Derby.
Okay, I like Stronghold.
He has Stronghold to win the Derby.
Let me give you, while you say Stronghold, I like to throw notes in there while you're saying Stronghold has a win at Churchill Downs, and he is 2-for-2 as a 3-year-old.
I mean, you know, you got to look at stuff like that.
Right. And I question his competition, but he'll be right up there. A couple just notes on horses that have won at Churchill. Honor Maria has won twice at Churchill. Resilience has a second and third at Churchill. Catching Freedom has won at Churchill. Just Steel has won at Churchill. West Saratoga has won at Churchill. Those matter, people, because if they like the track and they get back on it, you never know. It's just that's just something that a lot of people like. I want to tell you the horses that I think are improving: Stronghold, Honor Marie, Resilience, and Epic Ride. All those horses are improving. Tuna might like Just Steal, the Dwayne Lucas horse. He's raced 12 times. He's an NIL horse. I consider him an NIL horse. He is.
He's
flopped around all over the place. And so is West Saratoga. He's ran 10 times. Those are our two NIL horses.
Yeah,
if
but
you will.
Now we don't want a paralysis by analysis. We've given our picks.
Yes.
I don't think we need to get into these. We're gonna confuse the listeners.
One more improving horse, Domestic Product. Just letting you know.
Yep. Well, that's one of my picks.
There you go. But he has been on an 8-week layoff, and no horse since 1922 has ever won the Derby on an 8-week layoff or longer. Just so you know.
Tuna, who's your Derby horse?
Yeah, you haven't said nothing, Uncle Heavy. It's your turn.
We all know that. I'm going to take a different approach to this. We all know that I am a huge fan of Japanese engineering. I think they have done wonderful jobs with vehicles, the motor vehicle. So it took them several years. I don't know if you guys remember the very first Corolla. It was a terrible product, and now Toyota sits at the top of consumer ratings for quality. Horse racing has been a bit of an issue. They've had trouble engineering horses to run here in Churchill Downs.
Yes.
And America. This is the year that the engineering has gotten right for the Japanese.
Okay. Yashimoto.
Forever Young will win this race. And it won't be close. He's going to shatter Secretariat's record. Kimura Kazuishi. I'm sorry. Take that back. Susumu Fujita is going to ride the ever-loving shit out of this horse.
Right.
And that is my winner. The 11, Forever Young. You talking about Yoshito Yagahi?
Yes, he is a legendary trainer.
Absolutely he is.
He's the Pletcher of Dubai.
Well, I mean, you heard it here first. I mean,
do you have a second and a third?
Why?
Okay.
They're just the first and second losers.
Well, I thought you might bet a trifecta or something.
No.
Okay.
No, you just
You just put a hundo
on the nose of Forever Young.
Okay. All right.
I love that.
Yes.
And you want to talk about making it easy for the listeners.
Yes.
So if you want to ride, who wants to ride with Tuna? You just throw $100 on the Japanese horse, and you will be...
T.O. Password.
No.
No, no. He's the rabbit.
Forever Young.
He's the rabbit. That reminds me of a bet I made whenever I... Travis, when Authentic won, I was all over his stablemate, Thousand Words. I think it was Thousand Words was his name. And... I had my book out, you know, that I have with me in my pocket all the time. And someone ran out the door of the party we were at. And they're like, some horse just kicked himself in the paddock. He's out of the Derby. And I'm like, well, who was it? Thousand Words. And I'm like, what? I mean, so I looked at my book and I put 100 on the next horse in line, Authentic. And bada boom. So Tuna. You can put that C note on one horse and win. Keep it simple, baby.
That's it.
I love it.
For the notes, he is 0-0 at Churchill Downs.
So we're taking he is 0-0.
He is 0-0.
He is
5-0,
but he is 0-0
at Churchill Downs.
He ran his other races the opposite direction around the track.
The counterclock, and he was actually running clockwise as opposed to counterclock like we do.
This is what we didn't do last year that I wanted to make sure we did.
Okay.
I've done these crazy combinations. You all have done, kept it more simple. Who is your number one horse? Who do you think is going to win? I'm taking Catching Freedom. He is the 4. I've got his sticker. I've been all over him all year. Tuna has Forever Young. Travis.
Fierceness.
Jody.
Scotty Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler. She said Scheffler. Hey. I got Scheffler.
Let me tell you something.
Rory's going to be a close second.
If they load Scottie Scheffler into the 6 hole,
he's got it.
I am not betting against him.
You better hope his wife don't shoot a baby out in those 2 minutes.
Oh my God. Baby ride him up there.
All these 5'1" jockeys and the 6'5" guy climbs on.
Yeah. Who's your
Well,
one
I mean,
pick, if you got to take one that you think.
It's in my try, and I always like the 4 or 7 hole, so I'm going to go Catching Freedom.
Okay. You know, that's the horse that I won when we were in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Aren't the 4 and the 7.
On that.
Aren't the 4 and the 7 the most winningest positions in the Derby?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked at
that.
That
was the year I was born, so I used those 2 numbers.
No, I love that. Yeah. Hey, I know the 17 hole that Fierceness is in has never produced a Derby winner.
He's not going to be in 17 anymore.
Now he's in 16.
He's in 16 now, baby.
Because of the, yeah, just in case people don't know,
Epicenters
comes in and he stays in the 21 hole.
Which I was thinking about this earlier today.
Not Epicenter.
Epic Ride. I'm sorry. Epic Ride. Yeah. Moves over. And now So what you are saying is, and that is crazy because, you know, that I was just watching a past Derby and Tappet Trice was Tuna's horse and he was one of the favorites. And he was in the, he moved into that, they literally the same number because they have it X'd out on the starting gate. Yep. I'm like, where's 17 or whatever? And Tappet Trice starts it and he's last. They're like, and he, I don't know if it's that the way it's set up there where there isn't a horse next to him.
The extension.
But the horse that got scratched is not next to him, and Tappet Trice comes out funny, and he's last, and he don't finish.
Didn't they build
much
a new
better
gate?
Than last?
I don't know, maybe.
And he was one of the favorites.
Yeah,
he's talking about even there wasn't even a horse at the gate next to it.
Yeah, so if a horse scratches, they just take him out of the gate.
Yeah, and they move the new horse all the way to the end.
Right.
Everybody else moves over one.
The horse that comes in goes to the end.
Yeah, everybody else moves over one, and there's an empty hole.
And there's an empty hole, and that created an issue for Tappet Trice.
And I will say this, keep an eye on, and Fred and I were talking about this yesterday, keep an eye on Sierra Leone because he has had fits.
Major gate issues.
At the gate.
6 minutes to get in the gate in the bluegrass.
Well, think about this. He's going to be loading in like
early,
like second or third, right?
Yeah, and meaning he could get scratched.
And he is going to be.
I don't know if anyone's ever scratched like that.
That's
that
a long time for that horse to be in
gonna
that gate.
He's
going to
be sitting in the gate for a lot. The best thing for. Probably the best thing for the connections of that horse is that he has a fit and everybody else loads in. And they get his ass in there right at the very end. Because I can't imagine him getting in the gate and sitting there for 40 seconds.
I can't either.
Because that's what it's going to take.
People screaming, millions of people. That is going to be interesting. All the while, Fierceness, if he's acting up and everything, just chilling over there, waiting to get in.
Yep.
So,
But I love that breakdown. Hopefully... everybody down here tonight is going to make some big money this weekend.
I will because I signed up to work.
Well, that's probably the smartest thing that anybody down here did.
Yep.
You're guaranteed to make money. Guys, I want to throw it around the room.
That makes me want to faint.
Final thoughts, Tuna, coming into this weekend, final thoughts.
Nah, I got nothing, man. I don't know. I hope Freddie has a great time. I'm pulling for you this week. More than anything, and the horses and whatever, I'm excited because this is your week. So, like, this is when Freddie's at his finest.
Well, I want to say that we have a person that we know who has hung out at our local pub in the neighborhood for a while. Who, it's kind of cool. He has his second and third Derby horses. And he started out as a jockey agent. And his name's Danny Gargan. And he has Dornick and Society Man in the Derby, which is pretty cool. He's been hanging out at our spot that we've been going to for years and years. For dinner and things of that nature, hanging out with friends. And so it's pretty neat if something were to happen that he would win. He would be the first, I mean, local. Well, Brad Cox has won the Derby, but not by his horse finishing crossing the finish line. He won it months later on a technicality. So... for him to win, it would be pretty nuts. And I just wanted to let our listeners know that he'll be at Shenanigans getting wild, and everybody better put 20 to win on him if you want to join that celebration.
Jody.
I want to correct myself. $2 try box.
$12. Yeah, I was going to say it.
But... And if you put four horses in, it's 24.
Right.
I also want to correct Freddie. He was talking about the road race earlier. Sorry, Fred. It's not an 18K. It's a mini marathon, which is 13.1 miles, and a full marathon, which is 26.2 miles.
Oh, you got called out,
right,
dude.
Right.
That's all I got.
I did run the mini in 2000 and 2001.
You need to put a 13.1 sticker on
and
your truck.
And I ran the first year in 2 minutes, 56 seconds. And
2 minutes?
You're the fastest man on the planet.
2 hours and 56 minutes. And the second year when I figured out some shortcuts and things that I did wrong.
Some shortcuts.
Shortcuts on, like, I had dead shoes. Like, I had shoes that I'd washed.
Like,
you
found
a
guy in a pickup truck and he jumped in the back of it.
They looked cool, so I wore them instead of wearing, like, new running shoes that you've ran in a little bit so your shins don't fall off. And I ran it in 1 hour and 48 minutes.
And I bet our listeners are waiting with bated breath to hear what Freddie's time was in the mini marathon 22 years ago.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I was intrigued.
Then I started smoking heaters. No.
Guys, can't wait for this weekend. It promises to be, as always, a tremendous time here in Louisville. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully some of the insights that we gave you can help you guys make your picks. It's the funnest week of the year here. So can't wait to see how it all unfolds. For Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf, and Mr. Derby himself, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, and down the stretch they come. So long, everybody.
The sun shines bright in my old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer, the people are gay. The corn tops ripe and the meadows in the bloom, while the birds make music all the day. The young folks roll on the little cabin floor, all merry, all happy and bright. By and by,